Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Here we are again on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson on a wonderful July 10th day, and it's a real pleasure for me to have a friend of mine here in the studio, Jalay Tweedy from Petit P Catering and Fine Foods. Welcome to the show, Jalay.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we met, it's been over a year now. I think I facilitated a panel, had the chance to hear your story, and I was so captivated. And what struck me was the fact that, first off, you're being from Turkey originally, right?
Yes.
And that you studied pharmacy.
I did.
It did. So let me give a brief introduction before we jump into now what she's doing today, having circled in a different way. Jalay Sarak Tweedy was born and raised in Trabzon, Turkey.
Yes.
Is that right? Where she witnessed firsthand the authentic village life during summers spent at her grandparents' farm in an area where electricity hadn't even been introduced yet. She was inspired by her grandmother's legacy culinary skills. She received her first degree in pharmacy from Gazi University before traveling to the United States. She earned her second degree then from the University of Arizona in dietetics and was a practicing dietitian when she realized that, quite frankly, her passion wasn't in counting calories, but in offering people the joy of delicious food freshly made with absolute hospitality. Jalay started then Petit P Catering and Fine Foods in 2004 to allow her to express her passion for enjoying food. She's continued to grow the business and add employees and product offerings, gaining new fans to become the caterer of choice for some of the most discriminating clients here in Tucson. And despite the economic downturn, her business is growing at a fast pace as people discover her incomparable food and exquisite attention to detail. So pharmacy to dietetics. And so tell us about that journey from your own background.
It really is part of my culture in Turkey. Education is highly valued, and especially in the days that I was growing up, being a cook or choosing this as a profession wasn't even questionable. My parents demanded that I have a respectable job, mm-hmm. and they chose my profession.
They did, okay.
and I did, and I practiced that, and it wasn't creative, although I did like the science and studying pharmacy. And when we moved to the States, I was really interested in nutrition and went to UFA to get my degree in dietetics. Again, I had a lot of fun studying, you know, having all that, soaking up all the information. But when I became a dietitian and started to give advice, I did not find that as rewarding and productive as I thought it would be. And so I thought that I would offer a better service to society if I opened a little food business and give them the portion sizes that I'm talking about, yeah. and the simple, great natural ingredients that we use, and show them. And once they have the option, maybe that will be better for them rather than hearing the theory of the nutrition.
Well, I think, in fact, you even shared with me at one point in our conversation that one of the things that frustrated you as a professional in that area is that you'd throw your heart and soul in developing all these plans for them based on what they told you that they needed. But that really, that's as far as you kind of can go, that it still was up to your patients to take it to the next level.
It is very personal. Yeah, eating, we eat, you know, everybody has their eating habits, comfort foods, you know, trigger words mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, and colors, even textures. It is, it's very difficult to make fundamental changes to somebody's diet unless they are really willing to. Even so, it should be slowly and, you know, one little part at a time rather than, you know, trying to turn it upside down.
It's true, but I'm sitting here thinking, with your knowledge then of indeed that power of those trigger points of color, of texture, of presentation, that voila, I'm certain now you use those very given techniques now to your advantage to entice people.
Thank you. It's actually, I'm really helping what's out there naturally, just putting in a plate in a just a different way. Our cooking is, as I mentioned, really simple, and we process it as little as possible, and we use it as fresh as possible that's available to us. And people do respond to that, the simplicity and the fresh. If you cut your fruit, you know, last night and put it in the fridge and serve it to your guests for breakfast next day, it is not the same. And I tell you what, they know it.
They know it, both from taste and texture and the look.
Absolutely.
Of it.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Looking.
Well, the name, Petite Pea, where did that come from?
Well, I was I was trying to find an adjective, food name, and something to put in front of it. I don't know, maybe red orange or something like that. Uh-huh. And I was actually shopping at Trader Joe's one day, buying one of my favorite green beans, French green beans they have. And next to it, there was Petite Peas. And I said, that's it.
That's it. Isn't
that's,
that funny?
That's who we are.
That's who we are. And you've even said to me that that image of Trader Joe's has carried some a branding resonance for you.
Absolutely. I mentioned to several people that when I, you know, when I received criticism regarding our prices and they should be higher, or, you know, I should have a different approach if we are doing high-end catering, how, especially with the ingredients we use. However, I kept reminding them that my business model is more of a Trader Joe's or IKEA. We are catering of Trader Joe's or IKEA, that it's affordable, it's beautiful, it's reliable, it's clean, and everybody loves it.
And there's no compromise, that's for sure.
We do not compromise our food.
That's right.
Under any
2004, you started the business. I assume this is in your own kitchen, right?
Well, in Pima County, you know, food business, you really can't operate out of your home. However, you can go to your client's home, use their own kitchen, which I had several clients that wanted. We've been doing that with them. So I would go and cater their parties from their home and from their kitchen. That was a short-lasting period. That was the first year, because there was such interest in our business that we got our commercial space.
Mm-hmm. But still, that leap to go get the commercial space, that's a big decision. Now, you told me, though, you did something real smart, or it came to you, that it's only 2 blocks from your home.
It is. It was just luck. I was. I talked to many real estate brokers. It's really difficult to find a commercial kitchen, and it's expensive to build, and there's so many regulations.
Sure, yeah.
And so I was lucky. We found this great commercial kitchen, and it happens to be 2 blocks from where I live. I love that.
That's right. Although for those of us that have our offices from our home, which I do, sometimes it's hard to turn it off. So at least you've got a 2-block walk. Mine's a matter of probably minutes. Well, you think about the prospect then, Shalee, if you're building your business now, what makes an ideal client for you?
Ideal client would recognize the passion that we have for our food and business, and would trust us. Mm-hmm. That no matter what happens, we will produce what we promised.
And then what are some of your specialty? And I'm certain it's one, when you say trust you, not only from execution, but perhaps let you recommend the right combination of food items to complement whatever the mission is of their particular event or party.
Yes, we do, you know, suggestive selling often, because I ask them if they what kind of, you know, meat, let's say, or entree they want to serve or they would prefer to serve. And then we build a menu around that dish. And they're open to suggestions. And it turns out to be the best way to really put together menus for them. They've been happy.
Yeah, and that they actually bring their own diversity and experiences to the table.
Yes.
So that collaboration that you have with your clients, has it taken you then to add to your particular product lines in any ways? I mean, the creative element that comes
absolutely
from that.
Absolutely. I have a catering menu, but when I talk to clients, especially sometimes when I'm talking to the first-time clients, I tell them, this is our, we call this our basic menu. Mm. Since we do custom menus, and since it's catering, we are not stuck with any particular menu per day. We added so many more items because my clients requested items, and then we love them so much that we added to them to our repertoire.
Well, my question would be, was there anything that a client asked you to do that you sat there and said, I really don't want to do that, but now it's turned out to be a popular seller or very versatile to your other lineup?
There are times that I will say, you know, it really is not going to come out the way you are picturing it, but how about we do it this way? Or, you know, maybe put a twist on it and make it better.
Well, our listeners here, of course, are sitting here probably saying, well, give us some examples. So give us some mouth-watering description of a typical event or a dinner that your staff really enjoys and you know is a real crowd pleaser.
Well, I have to, you know, mention our star menu item. You know, I cook so many things, and I'm a foodie, so it would be impossible for me to narrow this down. But let me tell you what everyone, I get emails and cards about this all the time, phone calls. I have this simple dish. It's called Parmesan crusted chicken, and it's made with chicken breast. We make it fresh every day. Once people eat that, that's that. Most of the time, that will be the dish they are going to request over and over and over again, and that pleases the kids and women and men, all ages and sections of society. And when it comes to side dishes, then we serve this with rice. I love making rice. I think rice is underappreciated here. I would love to write a rice cookbook one day. And we serve this with a salad. It sounds a really simple combination, but when you serve these with the higher quality ingredients that is available, we have our own balsamic dressing that's first part of our product line that is coming up. People really respond to it.
So that's the secret sauce, is the balsamic vinaigrette.
It's our balsamic vinaigrette, yes.
And you mentioned that you are in the process of going to launch some of your own products then for separate sales.
Yes, when we open the storefront, which is going to be in the next few weeks, we haven't set a date yet, but when we do that, that will be the first item that will be on the shelves.
How exciting to go now from catering into retail.
It's really, you can't really separate them.
Was it something that you thought about early on when you started the catering business, or are you kind of letting your path lead you in those directions?
It actually was the opposite way. I wanted to start a product line, but you have to have a commercial kitchen to start that. And I already had catering experience. I had clients, and there was the demand for catering. So I thought that we could start the catering business and add the product line as second act, if you may say.
Yes, it is. That is a second act. And so that's an exciting prospect, because I think, you know, anyone who starts their own business, and that's, of course, some other topics I'd love to touch on with you, is you think it's going to be a linear journey of doing this, then this, then this. And then suddenly out of the blue, something comes at you. And you realize, maybe at the end of the day, that should be why I would head that way. And you go try that, and maybe you'll then come back to that other journey you had mapped out.
That's how our lunch business started.
When I
started my catering business, we were doing high-end caterings, and there were many of them. But when the economy started slowing down, there were a lot of corporate lunch requests, which I have turned down in the past. I didn't see it profitable. But since there were so many requests, we created a lunch menu. This lunch business is only a year old. However, it is almost half our business right now. That's how much it has grown. I had never pictured that we were going to be lunch caterer, but it's very popular. Everybody's happy. It's fresh. We get in the kitchen 5 a.m. and make it and make everybody happy by lunchtime.
Yeah. Well, I think that sets a different pace then on keeping your employees busy, right? And a different set. Yeah.
We have to. We run shifts. You know, we have a morning shift, and then when we have caterings in the afternoons or the evenings, then we're on a second shift.
Well, and I think, as always, that lunch catering business, you can't underestimate that. I'm sure you're doing all the right thing, that there's a little petite P card in the bin or a flyer that would say, oh, by the way, we can cater big events, so that the two can parlay one another then.
Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What's the largest event you've ever catered?
I've This past spring, I've catered a couple of large events. The biggest one was a sit-down wedding for 400 people.
Oh, my goodness.
It went pretty well.
Is that right? And so when you need surge capacity there, you have other people you can tap to help?
Mm-hmm. We have a list. We keep a list of staff that we would call for our events. And these events could, you know, vary from 50 people to several hundred people. And these trained people usually have other jobs, but they like the food, they like the food business, and they like this extra part-time job that they could come to every now and then. So it works out perfectly for all of us.
Well, having watched your team in action at the event in which you were on the panel as well, there's also an element of fun and pleasure. In fact, I think your words, I think, are so well put here. It's a performance, that you are really on stage, and that from the point you start dicing those onions to the point where you're putting the tablecloth and serving the dessert, it's really an end-to-end theatrical experience.
It is. And, you know, this is part of my training to my employees. I repeat this. It doesn't mean that because we're working in the kitchen, you should not put your mind into it. It is no different than working at an office. You have to focus on your task because, as you mentioned, this is a performance. Every time we cook a dish or plate something, it is a performance. And in order to keep the consistency, we really have to focus. You know, I discourage sharing personal stories in the kitchen because it's all about food and it's all about making our client happy and keeping up with our promise that we told them that we're going to produce such and such amount of food, and we're going to do it this way. And that's what we need to focus on.
That's great for any of our guests or listeners who've just turned in. We've got Jalay Tweedy with me right now. She is founder, CEO, cook extraordinaire for Petite P Catering and Fine Foods. Jalay, the whole prospect, one thing I see that's really heavily influenced the specialty food industry, of course, is Food Network and the Food Channel. And I had never watched it until our younger children, you know, 12 and 15, they're just hooked to this station and watching the theatrics and the display, the Chopped show, the bake-offs and so on. I think there's an interesting thing about that people are captivated by food as an art form as well as expression, but also a little bit of that competitive showmanship there.
It is, too. It's also a good education,
Yeah.
They are learning a lot the techniques, vocabulary that we would use in a commercial setting, and it also helps reset their expectations. You know, when you go to a place, then you know how hard it is to get it done right and hot and on time, put it out in front of the guest if you're at a restaurant. So you really appreciate the behind-the-scenes part of the work that goes into it.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember in my generation, almost always your first time job was in some way in the restaurant business. You know, either that or it was babysitting, lawn care, and something restaurant, waiting tables, you know, or being a busboy or a bus person that would clean up afterwards. And having those kind of jobs, you know, the spirit of hard work, but you also understand some of the psyche around the power of common courtesy and being upbeat and some formality around that. And for some people in this day and age, that's a lost art, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. We keep reminding our employees and we keep practicing this, and we think that we can do this one person at a time.
Yep, that's right, and by role modeling that. Now, what other services do you offer then besides food?
We are a... we call it full-service catering company. We offer anything from rentals that may be china or tablecloths or tables. Staff would be servers, bartenders. We arrange valet services. We also have, this is our secondary business, and we offer flowers. We make flower arrangements for large events.
Okay.
And in addition to our food, We do these services and also wedding cakes. So when somebody is getting married, they have to talk to so many vendors. They have to have a planner. When they come to us, we eliminate all these, most of the time difficult steps for them when they're so busy, you know, making other arrangements. And they really appreciate that one, you know, one-stop shop and one vendor takes care of everything.
So if I look at your business model, then you've really orchestrated a wonderful web of suppliers and partners to be able to pull this all off.
Yes, it took a lot of work. I am known to send my employees to you know, miles away to get the right ingredient. It has to be that ingredient, because if you're not getting the right turkey for a turkey sandwich, it won't be the same, and it has to be from that particular source. And keeping, as I mentioned before, keeping this consistent really builds trust in our clients that
for
they're
the
going to get
business,
it same
yeah.
every time.
Now, your business has a lot of it been growing from referrals then?
Referrals, yes.
That's great. Well, I know I've seen many wonderful pieces in local advertising and in some of the magazines that have catered with accolades. I think you've done some innovative things, and that is that you've never said no to someone who wants you to get involved in a philanthropy event, because philanthropy is so big here in Tucson.
It's part of, you know, it's part of being part of society. You know, we are part of society as a business and as a person. And if I can help providing food services to these wonderful causes, I work with many nonprofits, then it makes me feel better and sleep better at night.
I love it, which we all, particularly as entrepreneurs, that we can catch some good sleep amongst everything else that's on our plate. Well, Jalay, I just commend what you've been doing here with your organization. Tell us again about what's coming up then, your act two, as we say. You're going to be adding some space then to the business?
We are going to open the storefront within the next few weeks.
And where's the location? So people
our location is 1012 East 6th Street. Mm-hmm. We're just south of UFA campus on 6th and Park.
Great.
And once we open the storefront, we will offer in the morning, we will make pastries, coffee, obviously. We will offer lunch. Also, we are going to offer, because of our separate lunch business, we would be cooking other things. We are going to offer our surplus, whichever menu items we are cooking that particular day. And we will keep that until dinner time so people can come and pick up dinner after work.
Well, I like that. In fact, I think that take and bake model is a hot one for those of us that think we've got enough time to plan a meal. But I think the difference, again, like you said, is you focus so much at Petite P Catering and Fine Foods, the quality ingredients, the freshness, and that not the processing, which is a big distinction. Well, Jalay, thank you so much for joining us. We'll look forward to keeping track of your progress and the opening of your store. And in fact, Jalay shared with me here earlier, we're going to start running an advertisement for her firm, and know that Circles of Change is right behind you as you continue that wonderful
pleasure
experience.
To be here.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.